Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are back in the saddle. Man, it's been a couple weeks, but that's what happens when Christmas and New Year's, they fall right along the time that the show normally drops. And I know typically the show must go on, but not today. Well, actually today, not back then, I guess you could say. But either way, we are here now. Appreciate each of you for just continuing to check us out and rock with us, man. We got Run TMC, Chris Sanders, talking a little shop. But we're going to go two segments, Connor and I. Connor Newt, that is. Let me give the right accreditation. What's up, man?
What's up with you? It's been a while.
It has been a while, man. I had to, you know, kind of dust off the cobwebs on the seat. You know what I mean? Make sure the mic still worked. But here it is. We are good to go. And I tell you what, this is high time for the Titans, right? It's the interesting thing with this is this off season is almost more intriguing than the season. Now, it's not more important. Well, to next season it is, but I mean, it's really going to be a matter of some monumental decisions coming up.
Yeah.
And the biggest one, we'll start it off with it, actually, because that's what the best thing that to talk about is, that the head coaching search and Mike Borgonzi. We'll actually kick it off with the realignment, right? Quotation marks, where Chad Brinker, he said, you know, and I respect what Brinker did in this aspect. And it's from this perspective that, hey, look, man, I could do this, but, you know, we got this guy right here that we hired specifically to do it. So I'm going to step back and focus on these other things. I'm going to let him do what he was brought in to do. And I think that's a wise thing. I know people have said that they had their rifts, and maybe they did. In fact, they did, right? We'll call a spade. This is what happens. Anytime you have two grown people working together, you're going to have conflict. But the key to that is conflict resolution.
Yep.
And that's something where you could look as two men, look eye to eye, look, man, I guess we're just going to agree to disagree, but you know what we're going to agree upon? That we're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what has happened in this situation with whatever things that I got to kind of sit on that caused disagreements. But, you know, now you have, okay, roster control, head coach search, boom, it's on Mike Borgonzi. Now, some people, and I could get this perspective, some people could look at this as, hey, you know what? This is kind of like Chad throwing someone else on the grill, you know what I mean, instead of him. You can look at it that way. But at the same time, regardless, he's going to be responsible if things go wrong, because guess who hired Borgonzi?
Brinker.
Right.
Yep.
So one way or another, it's going to come back to him, right? Yep. One way or another, if things go wrong, as the great Malcolm X said, the chickens could come home and roost, right? And I think if they do this properly, there could be some great things here in Nashville, right? Because you got the new stadium opening. You got Cam Ward. You got Jeffrey Simmons, who's still young and is still ascending. I don't know that you could say outside of Myles Garrett, there might not have been a better defensive player in the league. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to come, Teron, you mentioned, shut up. All right. I'm just saying there's an argument that could be made for outside of Myles Garrett, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best players in the league defensively. So you got that. But then it's like, okay, with Borgonzi in charge of this, how are you going to go about making the right decision? How are you going to be able to weed out the Chiefs' bias. This man spent buku years, what is it, 17, 18 years, 16 years in that organization. Saw, what, three Super Bowls? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Naturally, having seen Matt Nagy and
Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo as a part of those, naturally you're going to, hey, look, those are one or two of the first interviews. So, boom, that they requested. Naturally, that's going to happen, but are you going to be able to weed out that bias that you have, that familiarity bias that you have when it comes to talking to the other candidates?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the key.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of hoping that you can rely on Borgonzi's football mind. Because I think when you go around the room in that front office, Borgonzi probably has the most intelligent football mind. I think he knows the most about the game and what his team looks like. So as far as finding a head coach, I don't think it's any secret they're going after someone with experience, which is what you need. You need a culture change here. You're right. You got to find a way. Maybe not the Chiefs bias isn't bad, because I think Matt Nagy would be a good piece. I think maybe Spagnuolo could come back around. Both of them, honestly, could come back around and be a good NFL head coach for this team. But you have to be able to explore other options outside of that as well. And obviously, guys have opened up, like Kevin Stefanski is out there. John Harbaugh is out there. And I wouldn't bank on either of them making it here. Maybe Stefanski over Harbaugh. But you got to be able to broaden your horizons a little bit and just really hone in on, despite where these people come from, what guy is going to be best for our future?
Yeah, and I think that's really the key. What guy is going to be best for the future, now and the future? And, you know, when you look at this, I mean, the candidates, we'll get into the candidates in a bit, but, you know, the key thing you also have to look at is their tree, right? Who are you going to bring in to be the offensive coordinator? Who are you going to bring in to be the defensive coordinator? Or are you going to call plays? Like in Matt Nagy's case, you know, apparently he's not going to call plays. Okay, so who the heck is going to call the plays then? You know what I mean? And these are all things that obviously will come out in the interview process. But you mentioned something about the experience. And I think experience is important, right? But at the same time, for your Chris Shulas, for your, you know, Clint Kubiak, who they didn't request,
That shocks me.
That should absolutely have been. And let me tell you something about Kubiak, right? So I have experience firsthand with Kubiak, right, with Gary Kubiak. He was in Baltimore when he was the OC for a year before he took the Broncos job. And he's legit.
Yeah.
And when you look at Cam Ward and you look at the things – now, obviously – Clint Kubiak is not Gary Kubiak, but, I mean, the dude grew up in the Kubiak system. It's his freaking last name. When you look at that, you're talking about deep play action. You're talking about the zone scheme. I mean, these are descendants of Mike Shanahan, right? Kubiak coached with Shanahan. And Mike Shanahan, for those who don't know, when this dude was in Denver, Orlandis Gary had 1,300 plus yards rushing, right? We're talking about Mike Anderson had like 1,400 yards rushing. Clinton Portis had like 16 something.
Mm-hmm.
This scheme, this zone scheme, and the way it was working, you could plug anybody into it. And when you got Terrell Davis into that, guess what? 2,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that the Titans have any of those, but I'm just saying that the run game, the system is proven. And then on top of that, you play action off of it. So you have a quarterback who works off of play action, who likes to throw the ball down the field. And they have those deep shots. Like, Rod Smith was with the Broncos back then. He was getting down the field. Now I'm getting a little bit in the weeds, nerding out a bit about this Broncos team under Kubiak, but Shanahan. And then eventually Kubiak, because you look at with Kubiak, you know, you had Baby Thomas, rest in peace. You know, that dude was a field stretcher, you know, and they were working the play action and all that stuff. So, look, long story short, I think Clint Kubiak should absolutely be a candidate. Now, there's another mix that I saw that I really like, actually, and Easton. And it's funny because this morning I was thinking about it. I was on my morning walk, and I'm like, you know, I wonder, because I remembered a feature that Sarah Barship, the ESPN Rams reporter, she did on, it was called the Play Drawlers, right? And so Sean McVay, he's had various guys, like they actually draw the play, you know, on the, with the software and everything, they draw the play. Past play callers include Zach Taylor. I think Thomas Brown had done it. It was a wide range, but one of the guys that is in that mix is I forget his Nate Stitz. I can never pronounce his name. Shil Hayes, I think is how you pronounce it. But you know, he's a young guy, 35 years old. He's the latest guy that's drawing the plays. Now you got Dave Ragone, I believe it is the quarterback coach. So you know, he'll probably be a bigger offensive coordinator candidate. But if you want to get somebody young and up and coming, that's the one. Like, he's the current guy drawing the plays, and Sean McVay speaks very highly of him. The thing I also like about that is he played a position. He played at University of Illinois. Now, he backed up Juice Williams. I was telling I was telling Vingan about this. That, you know, Juice Williams was an interesting quarterback, but he backed him up, and then he eventually played himself. But the fact of the matter is, there's something to having played the same position as the guy you're trying to develop. And that's not to say, because before, you know, you guys can, well, you don't have to play to know. I know you don't have to play to know. But having played the position, and Mike McCoy spoke on this, he said, you know, you can understand a little bit better, like, oh, yeah, I mean, there are going to be times where you just simply don't see that guy closing in on you, and you weren't able to brace yourself for the hit. Or, you know, you don't see that guy coming open because your eye is on this 280-pound monster closing in on you. And, yeah, you know what? You missed the guy on the seven route where it could have been a drop shot against cover two. Sometimes it happens,
yeah.
Right? But as someone who's been in that and can experience it, you understand a little bit better, right? And so that relationship, and then also being able to, you know, tell the quarterback, be able to tell Cam, like, look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, if you hold the ball 2.5 seconds, just be ready to get rocked, because I've been in that situation and I've held the ball that long, and next thing I know, Elvis Dumervil is jackknifing me into the ground. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
There's a degree of relation that is there. So I'm not saying you have to have played to coach, but I'm saying there is a slight degree of an advantage.
Right. Perfect example. New England. Mike Vrabel, former pass rusher. Outside of Drake May on that team, what has been the most effective part of New England?
Their pass rush.
There you go. And look, it's not going to hit 100% of the time. Brian Callahan played quarterback, and he came in as a quote-unquote quarterback guru, yeah, to develop Cam Ward and Will Levis even. And obviously we know how that ended. So it's not going to hit 100%. It's not 100% hit rate, but it works more often than not.
So if you could have your combination, and we're going to get more into the candidates in a later segment, but if you could have your preference, what would be Connor Newt's coaching staff? Or head coach. Let's just go head coach.
Head coach, I really, really like Robert Saleh.
Okay, I lied. Robert Saleh, and who would be your OC?
I would bring in Matt Nagy as the OC.
Okay.
Because I think there are cases where sometimes you interview a guy for a head coach and you think, well, maybe he might work for this role better. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Matt Nagy is this dynamic play caller like Sean McVay or someone like that, but I think he's capable of running an offense like the Titans haven't had in a while consistently. People say Mahomes masqueraded a lot of that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think some of Matt Nagy's play calling allowed for Mahomes to space out the offense and find an open Xavier Worthy or find an open Travis Kelce. So I think Matt Nagy, I think, is going to be involved in this staff somehow. I would have Robert Saleh calling defensive plays, but I would look at bringing in the Packers DC as my DC.
I think Hafley's
probably going to be a head coach job.
Get a head coach job. Yeah.
But I see that this is where I'm kind of stumped, because if I have Saleh calling defensive plays, it's kind of like Brian Callahan with his Nick Holtz. Like,
you don't have to have a DC. You could have a pass game coordinator. Like, he could bring in, I mean, look, you look at that or run game coordinator. You look at that 49ers defense. Man, outside of Lenore, tell me a star. Right? There are none.
Exactly.
Although, listen, man, I love Malik Mustafa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was right here on Talking with TD. He's an up-and-coming player. But you look, the point is that defense doesn't have anybody where you'd be like, oh, all pro, or even pro bowler. You know what I mean? But they still manage to be sufficient.
Right.
Right? So, to me, I'm looking at Robert Saleh, but then I'm also like, okay, who is the secondary coach? Maybe he could come in with Saleh as a pass game coordinator. Or I'm looking at, okay, who's coaching the guys up front? Maybe he could come in and be a run game coordinator as far as the defense is concerned. So you don't necessarily, with a guy like Saleh, just the same as, you know, with Matt Nagy as the head coach, you don't have to have an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You could have one. I mean, like with Callahan. Yeah, they had an offensive coordinator, but Callahan was calling the plays. You know, and Nick Holtz was more in a supplemental role, you know, to be along
right.
with Bo Hardigree. And then eventually Mike McCoy, so on and so forth. So I think that's something. I like that. I like that because you're getting experience. Because now you got two guys
yeah.
that
they it's
both.
It's balanced.
Yeah, yeah.
It's balanced. Like,
yeah.
I think Jeff Simmons and that defense would thrive under Saleh. Like,
yeah.
Jeffrey would reach a new level of player. And I think you could bring in some guys through free agency and maybe the draft that Saleh could help develop. And on the other side, I kind of trust Matt Nagy to develop a quarterback. I think he's proven that he's capable of doing that.
It would be very, very interesting watching that. I like that. Let's go ahead and go to a break. We're going to come back and get into this a little bit more because I want to carry this conversation.
This is Alec Eilmanner, and I'm talking with TD.
There you have it right there. The Bush Babies back from the break talking with TD. Rerun Things. That's what that song is called. That's that pure. That takes you back to Brooklyn, the old days in the 90s, man, right there.
This is mid-90s,
Bush Babies,
right?
Yeah, mid-90s. It was around like 90, I say 96 off the top. Mid-95, I'll say. Somewhere.
94.
90, okay, there you go.
We're close.
Right there. So, yeah, we were talking about Robert Saleh, Matt Nagy combo. That is an interesting one. I like that. The Dolphins have apparently been in touch with John Harbaugh, which means that if there was a match there, Mike McDaniel would be out. And I think he would be a good option as well if he didn't take another job. For me, you know, the way I really like Vance Joseph.
Yeah, I really like him too.
You know,
he's probably my number two as far as defensive coaches.
Yeah, I don't know offensively. I mean, Vance Joseph, and if Cliff Kingsbury doesn't get a job, you know, put that together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's more of a coordinator to me than he is head coach.
Vance Joseph as the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury as the OC. Now, with that situation, you don't need a DC, right? Because let's talk about Vance Joseph for a second. Because when you look at this guy, man, that Broncos defense, you saw it in the season opener. They get after the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I like about it, and shout out Connor Orr from SI. He did an awesome story on Vance Joseph, and he talked about how even if they're not pressuring the quarterback, they're making the quarterback feel like he's getting pressure, right? And they did this to the Titans, where you see them and they'll have a 5-man front, right? But they're all moving around. You don't know who's blitzing, who's dropping back, and you're like, naturally as a quarterback, when you see that, you see they got 5 men, you know, there and they're moving around and they're showing blitz. You're like, oh, your clock is automatically sped up. So it's like there's a pass rush without a pass rush. You know what I mean? Because sometimes he'll rush three and have the other two drop back, and now you got, you know, a whole bunch of guys in coverage. You know what I mean? You got 8 guys in coverage. And the quarterback is thinking that, hey, I got to get it out. And so they're working through their progressions a little bit faster, but you got 8 guys in coverage. Mm-hmm. And the little checks to where, okay, oh, he's coming this way. I know that slant is here. Nah, it's not there because the guy you thought was coming isn't coming. He's dropping back in coverage. Or the guy that you thought was coming, it is coming, but someone else has dropped. There's a whole lot of solutions to the puzzle that normally quarterbacks put together. There's solutions on the defensive side. So that is something I get excited talking about Vance Joseph, because he is someone, obviously in Denver, you know, it didn't work out, but man, like he went back to Denver, you know what I mean? And he had the before he got the Denver job, that Cardinals defense was like that. This dude is going to manufacture a pass rush, right? Now, look, no slight on Denard Wilson. Denard Wilson is a good coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Vance Joseph is probably the best right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to look at that. And, I mean, look, Denard Wilson did what he could with what was there on the roster, but that's why at number four, Arvil Reese is there. You take him. You know what I mean? And that's why you look at maybe can you pry Alex Highsmith from the Steelers? Or can you keep Jahad Ward? That's why you bring back Sebastian Joseph Day. That's why you also look a little bit later. You might be able to find situational pass rushers as well. The point is, also in the secondary, that's why you look at a Colton Hood, you know, if he's there at the top of the second round.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah, that ain't happening. I was going to say Tariq Woolen, but that's not happening. That's why you look at, okay, you know, if you could get Alante Taylor on a reasonable deal. I'm not saying that he's, you know, Patrick Surtain the second, but he's
better than what you got.
Right. Now, let me say this also while we're kind of talking players. I want to see what Michael Robinson. I don't know his deal, if it was a one-year deal, what he can't. I think Michael Robinson could play.
Yeah.
He impressed me in that final games. Like some of the PBUs he got. And I went up to him and told him, you know, on Friday. I'm like, yo, like, not for anything, man. On Monday, locker room cleanup. You know, I'm like, bro, that was a good game. Yeah. And it wasn't on Monday. It was Sunday. It was after the game. I went and talked to him, you know. So you got all that. But needless to say, you bring in Vance Joseph. That is an upgrade from Denard Wilson. And again, I'm just speaking the truth, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm very fun. Like Denard, that's my guy. That's my guy. And I hope he goes somewhere and gets a job, because he deserves at the very minimum a pass game coordinator. Hopefully one of these offensive guys gets a job and they're like, I saw you making chicken salad out of something else. You know what I mean? Making lemonade out of lemons. We got some strawberries and I want you to make some strawberry punch. You know what I mean? Like, just to kind of use the same lemonade out of whatever. But I like Vance Joseph as a candidate. I think, you know, the big thing for me, his ability to relate to players, right? And you go back to Connor Orr's story, and it talked about Marvin Lewis with the Bengals back in the day, and Dre Kirkpatrick out of Alabama, and then you had good old Pac-Man Jones. You know, you had a vet and you had a young player, a young ascending player, and he was the guy that got the most out of both of them. And I think, you know, you could go on up to modern day, not modern day, but now, you know, with Surtain, you know, you look at Benito, you look at, what's my man? He's on the other side, number zero. I forget his name. But the point is, there are a lot of really good players on that Broncos defense. I want to say they have at least three Pro Bowlers from that defense. They had a defensive player of the year out of the secondary, a cornerback. That doesn't usually happen, folks.
Right.
Stephon Gilmore, you know, was one of the few others to achieve that. You know what I mean? And before that, yeah, it's been a while. But I really, really think Vance Joseph will be a solid option. Offensively, you know, if you could pair him with, you know, we mentioned Nate Shieldchase, however you pronounce his name. Sorry. Good brother, but I don't know how to pronounce the name. But you look at some of these others, somewhere along the lines, I'm sure that he could find somebody. So I think that would be a good combo. But I say this, whatever they do, they better keep Bones Fossil.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They better keep Fossil. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's a pretty good, You got Raheem Morris, you know, who has interviewed. I think he and Matt Nagy, I want to say those guys strike me as head coach interviews like Matt LaFleur, right?
Yep.
Where, as you mentioned in the previous segment, guys that are going to go ahead and become coordinators for the Titans, you know, depending if they go offense, you know, then you got Raheem Morris, who has head coach. And the good thing is, if you get a young guy, you know, like a Clint Kubiak, right? He's the head coach, but you got Raheem Morris, who has had two cracks at it. You know what I mean? To kind of support him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or vice versa, right? If you go Chris Shula, you know what I mean? You got, if you go defensively, Chris Shula, defensively. Chris Shula. If you go Chris Shula, now you got Matt Nagy, who has experience to help him. So I think they're doing a good job of like casting out a net, in my opinion, beyond just the head coach. But the Jason Garrett one is very interesting. obviously, you know, the clapper. You ever notice, like, he was always clapping.
He looks like a basketball coach.
Yeah.
like they're running a fast break or something.
But, you know, he won a lot of games in Dallas. Like, I'm not going to get that twisted. Of course, he had buku talent, but, you know, you got him. I'm curious when this Mike McCarthy one happens, if it does. Obviously, you know, PK, we don't even have enough time to do it. But I'll just say this. What PK said on Wednesday, it was context. He wasn't saying for sure that McCarthy's not interviewing. He just said, hey, listen, from what I understand, that relationship may not be the one that just automatically warrant an interview. May not. I need to get further reporting on it, but I'm talking to you and sharing some of my knowledge. You know what I mean? And it's a damn shame that this man has unique context,
mm-hmm.
and it was taken out of context. and it's like, it makes you like, damn, like, why should I share stuff that I don't fully know, but I'm working on? You know what I mean? It's unfortunate. It turned to a whole fire type of situation on X or whatever. But, you know, we'll see what happens with McCarthy there. That's one I'm not crazy about it. But
no, I'm not either.
You know, I'm curious about it because he does have the experience, you know, extensive experiences. This man won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I think that's something to consider also. But the bottom line, this is a huge decision. I don't believe it's one that they're going to rush through. I mean, that's what Borgonzi said when he spoke on Tuesday. I just wonder, will they be able to have a guy in place before the Senior Bowl? That's what I'm curious about. And I'm not saying you have to do that, right, because you don't. But I think it would help. But at the same time, you don't want to rush the process. This is a very, very, like, this is a critical decision.
Right. And who's to say more guys won't become available next week once they get bounced
because
from the playoffs?
Guess what? The Packers get their butts whooped by the Bears. Matt LaFleur just might be available.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's available, I'm sending a plane. Hey, man, come on. Come on,
You've been here before.
You know what it is here. You know what I mean? You've worked with a young quarterback that needed polish. And the crazy thing is this. I compared, now not situation-wise, I compared Cam Ward to Jordan Love in that these are both guys who can play now and give you flashes now, but they're guys that will develop, just as Jordan Love did, develop into one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He did it under Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, to me, I can't get ahead of myself because he's not available. But if he were to come available, that would be the guy. I would take Matt LaFleur. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I would take him over Harbaugh.
Really?
And I'm a huge John Harbaugh guy. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. But I would take him over Harbaugh. Why? Because you've already seen him develop a quarterback. You've seen him in a situation that was tough with Aaron Rodgers. So you've seen him go through that adversity. But then on top of that, it's not a matter. I could tell you firsthand, multiple coaches came in here. Multiple players came in here. And they're like, this ain't what I signed up for. I didn't know it was like this. You know what I'm saying? LaFleur knows what it is, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good advantage. And honestly, that's why I would talk to Arthur Smith. I'm not saying do it. I would love for it to happen just because I like Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
His play calling, you know what I mean? And stuff, well, outside of that Steelers game when they got into the low red zone. But nevertheless, I think those are guys that I would talk to. And look, if I could have any coach, and again, getting ahead of myself because he's not available, but if he were to come available, Matt LaFleur would be my first option. He would be my first option. You know what I'll do? I'll pair that up with Raheem Morris, and let's rock. That's mm-hmm. the way I would do it.
I like that combo a lot. I just think, obviously, he's not available. But realistically, I don't think Harbaugh is going to want to come here. I don't think Stefanski is going to want to come here. I think it's a guy that's going to want another crack at a head coaching job. That's why I like Robert Saleh so much. Mm-hmm. That's why I like Matt Nagy. I like the idea of having a 1-2 punch of that, of just one guy that interviews for a head coach, and we say, all right, maybe you're better off as a coordinator. We're going to bring this guy in, and then this will be your last stop before you go somewhere else and become a better head coach.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And look, man, I said all that about LaFleur, watch the Packers beat the Bears, and that goes out the window. Yeah. So I'll say this. I've been kind of back and forth. I think Vance Joseph and you know, a young offensive mind, I think that's the best way to go. I can't tell you who, but I think that would be what I would do. But, you know, the thing that's so interesting is you go through and you have these interviews, and sometimes you learn about a guy that you didn't really, you know, that's what happened with Mike Tomlin. Like, they're like, damn. And that's what happened with John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I remember the Eagles, he was a special teams coach. And it was like, oh, what the hell is he getting an interview for? Their special team is good. Why is he getting an interview? And he went in there, knocked it out. And next thing you know, he replaced Brian Billick. You know, 18 years later, here it is. He's the best candidate on the market. So, you know, sometimes these interviews will reveal something that you just didn't even know. So I would love to be able to be a part of them just to see.
Yeah.
You know how that process
goes. Fly on the wall.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, it's going to be a cool thing to watch carry out. So we'll definitely talk to you more about this. I think it's something that's mandatory. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation we had about it. And I apologize, we didn't talk about the game or the season. We'll get into that probably next week. Actually, you know what? We'll definitely get into that next week because we're going to have a special guest next week. I'll go ahead and tease that. But he's a polarizing guy on social media. I'll just say it that way. He likes to use the word clairvoyant a lot, too.
Clairvoyant.
So that might give you another clue, but nevertheless, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to bring back a guy. I wouldn't call him clairvoyant. I would probably call him ugly, but, you know, he's intelligent, and that's Chris Sanders with Run TMC. So we'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Mm-hmm. All right. As the lights dim and the music fades, where are we going? And now, coming to you live from the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. Starting our power forward for your Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, there he is. There you go.
Number 42 out of Michigan State, Kevin Willis.
Man,
And now, the starting defensive end for the Patriots, Harold Landry.
Yo, I saw a video of him, actually.
Oh, man.
They did a video of the Patriots, their meals, the pregame meals. Yeah. Man, Harold Landry was at he was there scooping out those roasted potatoes, man. That dude had the biggest smile on his face. Yo, we used to call I coined a name for him. I used to call him Casper. Okay. Because I said it to him. You know me. I'm gonna say it over the mic just the same as I'll say it in front of you. I called him Casper. He started laughing. He's like, "Why you call me that?" I said, "Because every time you look in here and you see us, you peek in that door, I notice it. You'll see us, and you close the door and you bounce."
Oh, yeah. Man, but what heck of a player, man.
Heck of a player. No,
with the Patriots, man.
Man, he's ball. He was a baller here. You know what
man,
I mean?
He was.
He was a baller here.
And I think it's just getting right. You're right. He was here, but getting a really good scheme that really fits him, and he knows his role. Man, that whole team is just taking off. And let me ask you a question. Just look. I know we're going to talk about the Titans, but just look at that team. How many superstars are on that defense? Yeah, we got some different guys, but name some superstars on their defense.
On the Patriots?
Yes. See?
Christian Gonzalez. That's the only one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, but they all play together, and they play fast. And they have a type of attitude like their head coach, Mike Vrabel, man. So it just shows you if you just get the right type of guys that fits the right type of mold for your head coach, you can do some things, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Ooh. And I think, you know, and that's the whole thing, the do your job concept, the collectively. The one I always like is when they say hold your hand up, right? And you hold your hand up. And you know, they say each of your fingers individually, they could be broken very easily. But when you close it and make a fist, the fingers can't be broken unless you punch something. You know what I mean?
That's a
bar, right?
That's a bar.
That's a bar, man. What did football teach me? Football love story. This is a two-part book series that Emory Hunt, Chris James, Brandon Howard, and Gene Clemens, my group, my guys at Football Game Plan. We did a book series back in 2015, and I'm mentioning this for a reason. We did a series. It was a two-part series. It was called What Did Football Teach Me? A Football Love Story. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's an example of how football could teach you about life. And the reason why I bring the book up is because in both of those books, we had entries from various, you know, movers and shakers in the football platform. And John Harbaugh was one of the guys that I was able to talk to. And, yeah, it was a really good conversation, man. You talk about somebody who loves ball. John Harbaugh, he loves football. But, yeah.
And you're right. Football teaches you so many things, man. And this is what I learned, that when you play a football game, sometimes you're going to have to play in the game hurt. And you and sometimes life is going to hurt you, but you're still going to have to play the game of life. So when you go through those experiences like that, when you get in the game of life and life hurts you, you have that mentality that I have to keep going in spite of when I'm hurt. That's what football taught me, man.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, the thing that's always interesting to me is, like, you could always tell a former athlete.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain respect for teamwork. There's a certain respect above all else for hard work, right?
Right.
And there's just a different level of competitiveness that just seems to – just burn within former athletes. So, and you know, it could go all the way down to high school athletes at times. But I think more college and obviously pro athletes, there's just a different,
right?
I don't know, a different, one of that in them. You know what I mean? The dog. You know what I'm saying? I just got the chills thinking about that. But whatever, man. I strayed way off course.
People need to hear that, man.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know, this is a Titans show, so we do got to talk Titans. So let me ask you, when you look at the way the year ended, that final game, how would you take that and spin that into the offseason? You know, it says 0-0-0 on the clock. Are you like, ooh, let me put that away? Or are you like, man, I'm carrying that with me, and this is going to be the reason why I'm going to do an extra rep here, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, here's the thing about the whole season. First, I'm going to start about the good. The good is, you had some rookies that got some great experience. You got Cam that threw for 3,100 yards, 15 TDs, and 7 interceptions, completing 59%. Here's the great thing about this whole situation is you got Elliott and DK to where both of them had over 400 catches. I mean, not 400, 40 catches as a rookie, both of them between each other. So they're getting experience. They're going to get better, and they're going to make this league even better. They're going to make their team better. So even though the bad part about it is that they were 3-14, the good part about it is you got some young guys that you can build off. And then I want to flip to the defensive side. We always talk about where's the leader, who's going to be the leader, who's going to emerge. We had a bird's eye view to see Jeffrey Simmons emerge as one of the leaders of your team, the leaders of your defense, the pillars of your defense. So that's the positive of the whole season.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point you made. And it's funny because the Saints game, and it's being recognized across the league, the way Jeffrey Simmons is becoming a leader. The Saints game, I remember Deuce McAllister came up to me and he was asking me about Jeff. And he was like, you know, I could tell that there's different things that he cut out and outside of football. You know what I mean? And he was like, man, he's really become a leader and it's good to see. And Deuce is right. You know what I mean? And I think when you look at the emergence of that's one of the benefits that came out of this season is you saw, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
When stuff hits the fan, there is somebody for this organization that can stand up and you know, kind of weather that storm. And you know what's even better about this season? I honestly like the fact that Cam Ward didn't throw for 4,500 yards
and
40 touchdowns. You know why? Because you got to see what this young man is built from. You got to see how this young man – you heard Mike Borgonzi on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know, he talked about that. How he weathered the storm, the adversity that he fought through and all of that. So I think when you look at the season, although record-wise it's a lost cause, it's not a lost cause overall because this is so much of a – you know, Cam Ward said it best the week leading into the final game, into the Jaguars game. He said to win, you got to lose. You know what I mean? And you learn from these losses. And you learn how to – I'm rambling, but it's just
– No, you're good.
I'm very impressed with some of the things that I've seen, to your point.
Yeah, and even Cam Ward, I want to flip it back to Jeffrey Simmons. You said this last year, and you said this about NWI. You said the reason why he's consistent is because under the hood he's built different. And the reason why he was built different is because just imagine a car going through the manufacturer and all that stuff. It has to go through testing and it goes through the fire. So now when it gets in the fire, it's been tested. That's exactly what that's good stuff right there. Just like with Jeffrey Simmons, he's built different. The reason why he's built different is because when he came into the league, he was already facing adversity. He was all facing the situation off the field. He was already facing coming in with an injury. He was already facing all the odds that, he's late, and all these things. He had to go through the fire. So now you're in a situation in 2025 and 2026, the reason why he's handling all these things, why? Because he went through the fire and he's built different.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, the fire. Adversity built – Jimmy Johnson, adversity makes the strong stronger, but the weak weaker.
It don't feel good, though.
You know what I mean? It doesn't feel good. Oh, trust
no.
My man, Connor's had. We've had adversity that we've had to overcome, and it didn't feel good, but guess what? Man. When you came out on the other side of it, you're like, I'm not bulletproof, but dadgummit, to talk like my old coach, my old wide receiver coach, Coach Mason, rest in peace. He's from Arkansas, so that's why you get a guy from up north saying dadgummit because of him. But, you know, you say dadgummit, I'm not going to be broken. And that's the beautiful part of the adversity, right? And it's something that you get to go through. You don't go you get to go through it. And come on the other side, and here it is. You weather the storm and you're ready, right? You build the callus. Yep. You build the callus for any other adversity that comes. I didn't mean to turn this into some type Eric Thomas, bro. Les Brown, you know, Inky Johnson kind of segment, but it kind of went that way.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. People need to understand that when you play football, these are still human beings. Sometimes we look at a lot of guys as Superman, and we act like Superman. But sometimes kryptonite is going to catch up with you. When kryptonite catches up with you, you have a chance to say, okay, I got to get my strength back. And check this out. I'm not trying to preach a little bit, but this is so good. Just like when Superman went through the kryptonite and he took his cape off. He had two choices. He came to a crossroad to pick his cape back up and go fight or sit there and let the kryptonite crush him. See, that's what football teaches you. Just like what you said before, this is what it teaches you. Sometimes an injury, sometimes, you know, getting cut, sometimes getting laughed at, sometimes being 3 or 14 is that kryptonite. But just like Cam Ward, just like Pollard, just like Chig, just like Ellick, just like DK, just like Gunnar Helm, just like Jeffrey Simmons, they had to put their cape back on to go fight, regardless if they wanted to fight or not. Mm-hmm. That's cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know the thing I love most about football and what it teaches you is 11 guys are out there on the field, right? And you all have one common goal. And it could be a guy from the streets of Brooklyn, New York, next to a guy from the cornfields of Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Next to the guy who picked potatoes in Idaho, catching the ball from the guy who ran the streets of Philadelphia. You know what I mean? And everybody comes together, and it's your own huddle, right? And it could be another guy that ran the streets of Philadelphia on the other side of the ball. Guess who you're going to defend against? Yep. You see what I'm saying? The way that it brings everybody together. And a lot of times, she's like, my lady, she's not a sports person, right? And so she says to me, like, why is it that people, why do they pay so much attention to this? Why do people invest so much in it? I said, because it's an escape, but also there's so many lessons. And it's a way. Man. Think about seeing a stranger in the store, right? Mm-hmm. I'll have my Mets hat on sometimes, all the time. Yeah, I got one on now. I'll have that on, and a guy walk by and be like, go Mets. And I'll be like, hey, man, what do you think? You know what I'm saying? A random person I would not have spoken to spoke to me because of sports. And that's what it is a connector.
And when you say connector, man, it's funny because I got this picture of, you know, back in the day we had these puzzles. We used to take them out the box, and it looked like it's a disaster. And you're trying to make these pieces that are individual pieces to try to look like the picture on the box. But once you start placing them together and putting them together, then you get the picture you want. That's what football does. You got all these puzzles, these different pieces. A guy from Detroit, a guy from Philly, a guy from Denver, Colorado, a guy from Chicago coming together to get to the Super Bowl and see the picture that they always dreamed come to fruition. That's why you see the emotions after a Super Bowl or getting drafted or these things, because the emotions come out, because now you're trying to get to a picture, but then you get connected with different people. And you see your dream kind of fulfilled, and emotions come because you didn't see the picture, but the pieces were always there.
I'm just waiting for the plate to come my way, the basket. Donations. What she say?
Boy,
what she say? We like the kind that jingles, but rather the kind that folds. All right, 2 minutes, man. We got to get some Titans talk.
Okay.
Receiver-wise,
yeah.
Well, let me ask you, what's the number one need heading into free agency in the draft?
This is my opinion, but there's several holes. Number one, you got to get a shutdown corner. You got to get a corner. You got to get some safety guys or some safeties. I'm sorry, some safeties and corners. Then you can say, this is just my opinion, I still think you need a bona fide wide receiver, a bona fide number one. I'm not saying, you know, Ellick and DK are not number ones, but you want to put somebody out there that puts fear in you. These guys are good. These guys are solid. But you want somebody. When I say Van Jefferson, you're like, woo! You want somebody, you know, like that. And then you still need some depth at the offensive line position. Because if you look at, you know, the Tennessee Titans this year, you know, you didn't have no depth. Look at I'm going to go through some of the positions. Look at left guard, you got Skoronski. But then behind him is Drew Ross. Black Hands, guys you haven't heard of. Then you go to the left guard position or vice versa. You got Zeitler, but then you have a guy named Dillinger and Clay Weber. Those are guys you don't know. Yeah.
Don't forget Jackson Slater.
Jackson Slater. Yeah. You just don't know those guys. And I'm not saying that that's a disrespectful thing, but and then this is my opinion again. You need a bona fide backup quarterback. We saw how valuable backup quarterback is. Cam Ward is a great football player, but if he gets hurt, you saw what happened when you put Brandon Allen in there. You need a bona fide guy that if Cam Ward gets hurt, that's what you go to.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going to say this. I agree with you on all of that. I think edge rusher. It's you either need a premier edge rusher, a pass rusher, or a premier corner, one of the two.
That's a great point.
If you can have both, then, I mean, you're in really good shape, but you need one of the two. But that's why the Broncos are so good. Also, they have a guy in Vance Joseph who's a premier designer, a manufacturer of the pass rush. But, you know, you got Nick Bonito, you know what I mean? You got Patrick Surtain the second, you know what I mean? They're solid on both ends, and that's why the defense. But nevertheless, I agree with you there. One parting shot. From this conversation, Titans focused head coach interviews are happening.
Yep.
The head coach that Chris Sanders would hire is?
There's a couple out there, but I'm going to say one. I know they like Robert Saleh, but here's the deal. When you talk about guys knowing each other and being a connector and, you know, a guy that's demanding, intense, all these things. This is just my opinion. I would say Matt Nagy. Hmm. And the reason why I would say him is because Bergonzi and those guys know each other. Yeah. And when you're familiar with somebody and you know somebody, you bring somebody with the same vision, bring somebody with the same concepts, bring somebody with the same vision. And that's exactly what Bergonzi said. He wants a guy with vision, a guy who holds players with accountability, and he's a builder and he's a connector of people. So, and that's just my opinion, Matt Nagy or Arthur Smith.
There you have it right there. Crazy story, real real quick. Matt Nagy and I were within a year of almost becoming teammates in the Arena League.
You lying.
I'm dead serious. I worked out. I never played Arena League, but I worked out for the Dragons, and we were in discussions. It never happened. In 2001, Nagy was their quarterback in 2002.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Wow. You old, man.
Hey. Oldie but goodie. Just ask my girlfriend. She'll tell you. We out.
Peace out.
So there we have it right there. Run TMC, man. Connor, we got to go deep on this head coaching thing. We'll continue to discuss this because there's so much to rap about. And as they go through the process, Mike McCoy got the interview. He was the first guy to get interviewed for the head coach job. I guess, you know, taking over that ship and trying to keep it from sinking. He deserved it. So we'll see how it continues to carry out. But we appreciate each of you. It was great to be back in the saddle, man, after a two-week break, man. Been dying to get on here and talk some shop. So I appreciate you, Connor, for making this happen.
Appreciate
you. No doubt. Run TMC with Chris Sanders, old fisheye fool. We'll keep that coming. And, hey, each of you who tuned in this season, man, appreciate your support. It's been real. It's been fun. You know what? It's been really fun, honestly. So look forward to another season, an off season with so much to go. So definitely keep rocking with us. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. You know what to do. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.